This conference is being recorded.
So welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call. Oh my goodness. As we start in the heart with a frog in the throat. This is Seva Kaur, and I'm the CEO of a company called Fiera, and we host these weekly Heart Start calls every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And tonight's call is about fear. So I guess fear has grabbed me by the throat. Excuse me, just one second. I'm going to grab a little sip of water. There we go. So Fiera is a company that is licensed by the Institute of Heart Math, which is an institute both comprised of a training organization and a research facility in Northern California that has looked into the physiology of stress, which naturally led into understanding of the physiology of people. And from their research and understanding of the physiology of stress that inhibits peak performance, they've come up with a system of tools as well as a technology that helps people reverse the negative effects of stress in their lives and enhances their performance, their fulfillment, their quality of life. And so Fiera was a company born out of my own use of the tools and techniques that I learned from HeartMath. I was sitting on the beach in Santa Monica one day, applying the HeartMath skills, and I just felt so great using them. And I could not find a word in the English language to describe this great feeling that I was experiencing. I felt connected to everything around me, and at the same time, peaceful inside myself. I felt this quiet inner knowing of certain things that I had questioned or doubted my whole life. Suddenly, the answers to those things were clear, and if the answers weren't clear, the questions themselves were tantalizing me rather than torturing me. I felt vibrant and excited and with looking forward to my future with eager anticipation, and at the same time had a certain perspective on my past in which all the things that I had resented or felt victimized by or felt like I had been a failure in suddenly looked like they had perfection, like each one of those things had played a perfect role in getting me to that spot on the beach that day. That's a whole lot of words to describe one moment in time, and I was looking for one word that would capture that feeling. Well, it took me a few years. It took me till I already had a company in which I was training people how to get to that great state of mind, state of body, state of emotion, state of being. And I was at a gaming industry conference in which I was speaking about the power and potential of creating video games designed to help us get into positive states using biofeedback inside of video games rather than just having video games designed to blow things up and kill each other. And so a woman at that conference was talking about how they create video games and that when a video game goes to market, it has a criteria for fun. Certain list of indices that a video game must meet, and one of them is an index called the Fiero Index, which is an Italian word that means you've been trying and trying and struggling to get something, and finally, yes, you get it, and your arms fly up over your head, and a yes flies out of your mouth, and that's Fiero, and she said that, and my arms flip over my head, and I said, that's the word I've been looking for, and so out of that was born our company, Fiera, which is specifically designed or with the mission of bringing more Fiera, more of that feeling to individuals like those of you who are either listening live to this call or listening to it as a downloaded recording, as well as to organizations to help them work better, improve their bottom line profits and their corporate culture in the process, and even into hospital settings to improve patient care and employee and nurse satisfaction in those hospitals. Fiera has trained companies in countries around the world. We've worked with the Nicaraguan government even to help them end inner conflict and in their governmental dealings. We've trained individuals like yourselves, which is really my passion, is to bring the power of the heart to the people. And that's what these Heart Start calls are for. It's a free call every Monday night where we like to just give back to the community and create this little oasis of positivity where people can hear stories about the power of the heart and how the power of the heart can help them in their own lives and gain that resource, whether they can pay for our trainings or not. So that there's something, even albeit an appetizer or an hors d'oeuvre, that can nourish us together as a community in the heart. And while an hour each week we can only give you an appetizer and an hors d'oeuvre, we'll also let you know in this call how you can eat the full meal, so to speak. And the depth of the refrigerator of the heart is, that's not quite a good analogy, since the heart always feels warm to me, but let's just say the catering service of the heart has an unlimited supply of nutrition for us. I have yet to find bottom in that resource. And so each week we talk about the power of the heart as it relates to different aspects of our lives. Last week, per the request of one of our longstanding clients, we addressed how the power of the heart can help us in the face of terminal illness or when we have a loved one who's dying. Tonight we're going to talk about fear and how the heart helps us to deal with and relate to our fears. And so, because this is a Heart Start call, we like to start in the heart. People come to these calls from many time zones all across the world. We get people calling in from Skype on their computers and getting up even in the middle of the night to join us live. And, of course, people are downloading the call as a recording later. So you should know that the call is being recorded, and inclusive to that, you are welcome, if you're live on the call, to ask questions, share your stories. This is a time for you to get questions answered, to share your own experience of the heart, and just know that the call is being recorded and that will be posted for others to hear what you share. If for some reason you're live on the call and don't want your questions or your stories recorded, or if you're listening to this as a downloaded recording, you can still send your questions in and your stories as well via email to Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Fiera, F like fantastic, Y-E-R-A.com. Or you can call us at Fiera directly at 310-581-1507. And that having been said, let's go ahead and start in the heart, coming from, you know, people join us in Fiera calls and trainings from many walks of life. We get people who come to us because they're in crisis, a stress crisis of one sort or another, anxiety, depression, panic attacks, or just plain overwhelm. We also get people who come to us because they're peak performers and they want even more edge in their game, whether they're Olympic athletes or high-level entrepreneurs and executives, a lot of entertainment industry folks. And so whatever got you to the call tonight, we all come together in the heart. It's a place where we can all meet, different time zones, different cultures, different countries, different jobs, different daily lifestyles. And the heart becomes this ground where we're all equalized and our experience can come together. And so just to focus our attention for a moment in the area around the heart and then allow the breath to come in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. And again, in through the area around the heart. And out through the air around the heart. And engaging in that way, breathing in through the heart and out through the heart, just allowing yourself to become aware of something you appreciate, something you're grateful for. And or it could be something that you're excited by. And breathe that in through the heart. And out through the heart. And so as you're breathing your gratitude or your joy or your anticipation in through the heart and out through the heart, it's so great to start something, you know, like a heart start call. I haven't thought of this in a while, but to start with a sense of joyful anticipation. We never know when we enter a meeting or go have tea with a friend what life-changing thing could happen in the space of that time that we're together. If you think back to the most pivotal moments in your life, they were moments just like any other moments, but they were moments that stand out. They were defining moments in your life. Maybe we could just appreciate one of those moments and then allow for the fact that a moment like that could be just around the corner, could be lying waiting inside your heart, waiting, your heart just waiting to gift that to you, even in the next hour. It's that possibility. And you could look and see when you're feeling that joyful sense of anticipation or a deep sense of appreciation for those moments in the past. Is fear present there? A long time ago, one of my teachers said to me, Sheva, because I was a very frightened child. I was afraid to do anything and would often push past that anyway. And so I appeared as a very aggressive child, actually, because I was so afraid so much of the time. It took this incredible gumption just to walk out my front door. And one of my teachers said to me, Sheva, fear is just excitement without breath. So here I was in grade school. I had this grade school teacher trying to teach me how to breathe. Bless her heart. She's had so, felt so much compassion for me and my chronic anxiety and fear. Well, it was only once I stumbled into heart math, maybe, I don't know, almost 20 years later, that I understood finally what she was talking about and some of the truth to what she'd been saying. And what we might say, or what I might say now, is that fear is excitement without the heart in it. So it turns out, you know, and we mentioned this in the invitation for those of you that received the invitation to this call, emotions like fear, which are the cousin to fear, are things like anger, territorialism, jealousy. These emotions that we associate with discomfort are actually not some sort of grand design to torture us as human beings, but were adaptations that came through our evolution physically, physiologically, as part of our survival intelligence. If you think about all those emotions, fear is very useful to help us get out of the way of danger, physical, true, life-threatening danger. Territoriality, aggression, anger, those are all things that allow us to protect our territory so we can protect our survival and the survival of our species. So the evolution of emotion as it came to happen in our species, if you will. If you look at the millions of years of evolution of life on this planet, you know, first you had single-celled life, and from what we can assess or what science can assess, single-celled life didn't necessarily have emotional experience. You don't necessarily see single cells reacting under a microscope with fear, right? And that evolved into more complex life. And then you get sort of reptilian life with these long brain stems, which is very useful for base regulatory mechanisms for survival. And in terms of interacting with the world, the brain stem is very good at approaching what's needed and avoiding what's threatening. So I'll move toward you if I can eat you. I'll move away from you if you're going to eat me. I'll move toward you if we're going to procreate together and keep our species going. That's kind of binary code. Approach, avoid, approach, avoid. Well, that part of the brain received an addition as mammals evolved, what we call now the second brain or the midbrain, the mammalian brain, where emotional memory lives in the amygdala, where the thalamus helps route incoming information to where it should be processed. Is this something I need to just approach, avoid, or is this something I need to have a feeling about? So emotions evolved as part of this survival adaptation intelligence. The next stage in evolution, where even maternal love and bonding was part of that, so that we could help the young, which in a mammal require care after they hatch, so to speak, whereas in most reptiles, they don't require care after hatching. They come out hatched and ready to go. Mammals require more long-term care, so this quality of maternal bonding and love happens in the mammalian brain, the midbrain. That emotional connection was essential for mammals to survive. Similarly, the protectiveness or territoriality and this quality of fear, that emotion. So what is fear? Well, it helps us avoid threats so that it helps us survive, and it gets triggered in our physiology. We get communication that we're experiencing fear through our nervous system, through our hormones, and it turns out through our heart rhythm. That in fact, when we go into a fear state, it has a chaotic signature in the heart rhythm. We release cortisol, a hormone, and ultimately a chaotic signature in the nervous, excuse me, the autonomic nervous system, most commonly triggering an excess in the or a heightened sense of sympathetic fight or flight reactivity in the nervous system. So we get higher alert qualities when we go into a state of fear, which makes it, of course, then harder to sleep, harder to unwind, harder to relax. And because of the way that affects our brain, remember this is coming from the mammalian brain, the midbrain. So the third brain, which is characteristic of human beings, our big foreheads, frontal and prefrontal lobes, which is responsible for our ability to have verbal communication, to talk to each other like we are on this heart start call, to problem solve, to vision, to dream. It was that third brain that was very active when I was sitting on the beach that day in Santa Monica. That third brain shuts down when we're in a state of fear. Because the midbrain, the mammalian brain, takes over. Why is that? Well, that's part of our intelligence. Because the fear through the chaotic heart rhythm, the hormones, the nervous system is signaling to the brain, we're in danger, we don't have time to solve calculus problems right now, we need to run. So we're going to shut down our higher brain centers, we're going to drop all unnecessary ballast. So none of that stuff slows us down from our immediate survival. Once our immediate survival is handled, then we can get back to this business of, you know, growing emotionally, spiritually, mentally. But we can't do that if the body's not going to make it. So it's a brilliant system designed to keep us alive for the optimal length of time and allowing all the luxury liner aspects of our growth to be cultivated only if it's not at cost to our physical survival, in which case those things wouldn't be able to happen anyway. Very smart system, but no matter how smart the old system of operators plugging wires in was, when Alexander Graham Bell first invented the telephone, in the digital wireless age, that operating system is antiquated and it's not going to work anymore. And that's because most of the things that are triggering our fear are not direct physical threats. Most of our fear, at least for those of us who are, you know, living the easy life, so to speak, in North America, and even those in war zones. Actually, I work with soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, and even in those cases where their lives are on the line on a regular basis, the technology they have to operate in order to face those life-threatening situations requires their higher brain function to be accessible and available to them. So if they go into a typical fear response, they won't be able to save their own lives now. That's the irony. That these systems designed to support our survival are now compromising our survival because long-term, the fear, the stress hormones that fear causes to release are causing dis-ease. High levels of cortisol are present in a lot of the modern diseases like heart disease, hypertension, cancer, early signs of aging, dementia, diabetes. So we weren't meant to live with chronic fear. And yet, because we are reacting to our psychological stressors, things like deadlines, or even the fear of failure, or the fear of success, or the fear of intimacy, as if they're physical threats, means that some of us are firing fear physiology all the time. And then we live in this chronic state of fear that has no relationship to our surroundings or what's happening to us in life circumstances. And that then compromises our health, compromises our performance, compromises our ability to respond to life. And this was me when I came to the HeartMath system and learning the HeartMath tools. One of my favorite tools, I always used to say that if I was stranded on a desert island and could only bring one thing with me, the thing that I would bring was the cut-through tool. The cut-through tool, which we teach in the advanced course in our HeartMath trainings, teaches you how to cut through things like fear to get to what we call the true care behind it. So one of the things I wrote about in your invitation to this call was that behind every fear is a genuine love and care. What does that mean? It sounds so woo-woo or new age or idealistic. It's really not. If you look at how fear evolved, it was designed to protect life. The very nature of our fear in our physiology, the things that it does to us by shunting blood quickly to our extremities, getting us to sweat so we can quickly run or punch or get away, save our own lives, shutting down the higher brain centers. This is a brilliant design that clearly values life. So behind our fear is actually a love of life and wanting to be alive. And because I think fear and love are so related and so close to one another, we love fear. We love it so much, we set up situations to experience the stimulation and the heightened aliveness that it gives us, like roller coasters, horror movies, haunted houses, all these things. So there is love behind fear. And with tools to transform the chaos that fear creates in the heart rhythm into order in the heart, which then opens up the brain and allows the heart and brain to communicate again, we can access the love behind the fear. An example that I gave in your invitation to this call was a terror that I started to develop towards dentists. And I know I'm not alone in that. People, I forget what the statistics are, but many people are terrified of going to the dentist, so much so that for a while, dentistry was the profession with the highest suicide rate because dentists felt so alienated by their clients. So my own fear of going to the dentist was more related to the fact that I'm a, you know, a type A personality, which means I like to get straight A's, is what that means. And for about a year, for some reason, I got some kind of infection that led to problems with my teeth. And I would go into the dentist, even though I was brushing regularly and doing everything I could. It's funny how these things end up translating into our little practical day-to-day reality, right? Flossing your teeth. What has that got to do with love and fear? Well, there I am going to the dentist, and they're like, very concerned. They're like, Sheva, you've got to take better care of your teeth, or you're going to lose them. I'm going to lose my teeth? I'm 35 years old. What are you talking about? I'm going to lose my teeth. Well, I mean, this is what we're seeing. You've got big pockets in your gums, and there's problems, and clearly you're not caring for them. And it was so frustrating because I was caring for them, right? Or so I thought anyway, doing all that stuff. The more afraid I became of losing my teeth, the worse it got. Well, of course, I'm releasing stress hormones there and worried about it and pumping cortisol into my blood. It's going into my gums and creating more inflammation. So finally I said, all right, I've got to stop this, because I got to the place where I was like not able to sleep the night before I was going to the dentist. It was absurd. So I sat down and I did my heart math. And I realized as I did heart math, it's funny how much this moves me even just to say it now, that here I'd had this mouthful of teeth for maybe not 35 years. I guess you lose your baby teeth when you're 7, right? So I'd had this mouthful of teeth for about 30 years. I don't think ever once I had stopped to appreciate my own teeth. I'd just taken them totally for granted. They're doing their job. Now, maybe if I'd had braces, I would have appreciated them more, right? But never had any problems with my teeth, never even got a cavity. So I just completely took them for granted, like, oh, this is something that I'm entitled to. And there are things we're surrounded by like that, little pockets of appreciation and love that we miss, that our fear can actually be a pointer to. And so I sat down and I began to appreciate my teeth, just to love them. Like, oh my goodness, what a brilliant thing that it could last for 30 years. I don't think I have much that's lasted for 30 years. Right? I've definitely had to replace my furniture and my clothes since then. And if these guys just keep trucking. So I started sending a lot of appreciation to my teeth and realized how much I'd taken them for granted. And I took all the fear using heart math tools that I'd learned, because fear is, at the end of the day, just raw energy. Our energy. And if you know how to harness your emotional energy and transform it from the chaotic survival-based reactivity into a coherent force that you can align behind what matters most to you and your visions, goals, dreams, and purpose, then that emotional energy shifts from being a fire burning out of control in your house to fuel to take you where you most want to go. And so I took all the fear of going to the dentist and transformed it into love for my teeth. Simple little day-to-day thing, right? Well, my next visit to the dentist, I got an A+. I wasn't doing anything that differently. The dentist was like, okay, so what toothbrush did you switch to, and so on and so on, right? At HeartMath, we like to say sometimes it's an inside job. So you can move chess pieces around on your chessboard in the physical world, but at the end of the day, it's an inside job. What are the attitudes, what are the emotions that you're holding towards life? Because that's where the bulk of our energy is. And fear can serve us because it can be a pointer to where we've got chaotic energy inside that can be transformed into order outside, in the form of what we love and what most matters to us. In a moment, I'm going to open up the call for any questions or anything that anybody would like to share, any of their own stories. We'd like to kind of give you an overview of a little bit of the heart math science and tell you how you can access more. In essence, the key piece of science that HeartMath came upon is this fact that our emotions affect our heart rhythms. that emotions that are based in old survival mechanisms like fear, anger, frustration, these things aren't bad. Not bad at all. That's one of the most important things if you're a person that experiences a lot of fear. You never want to make yourself bad or wrong for that. It's simply part of your survival intelligence that's being overused, used inappropriately. And so what HeartMath discovered is that those survival-based emotions have this chaotic impact on the heart rhythm, and that we can actually change that at will. And not only can we change that at will by shifting our emotions, but that they have also developed a technology that shows us that in real time called the M-Wave. So you can see the chaotic pattern in your heart rhythms, and the M-Wave can help you, via a mirroring process, get back into a coherent pattern, objectively as well as subjectively shifting your fear experience, changing your hormones, changing your nervous system. And there's a system of tools that can help you do that in any life circumstance. Now have about 30 or 40 different tools that can help people to do that anywhere, anytime. And this, it turns out, helps you to feel much better more often, physically, mentally, and emotionally. As you can see from the impact that has on the brain, it allows you to perform better. It allows you to respond more effectively. And most of all, it allows you to enjoy your moments of life more. And so on these Heart Start calls, we give you little glimpses, stories, experiences of that. I'd like to share a couple of those as it relates to fear in my own life, aside from just this visit to the dentist, because where I'm most focused on this in my own life right now is on the devastation that fear can cause us when our dreams start to come true, and how the power of the heart has helped me personally overcome that fear and step into much greater fulfillment in my life. There are two areas in particular that I'm thinking of, one being that when I was a teenager, I lived and worked in a war zone in Nicaragua, and many things happened to me while I was there. I was kidnapped at gunpoint. I woke up to machine gun fire every morning. I ended up suffering, after living in that war zone, severe post-traumatic stress, which is a heightened state of chronic fear. Being separated from the children that I worked with in the streets of the Nicaraguan war zone was a particular type of devastation that only once I learned HeartMath was I able to reverse and remove that sense of guilt and transform it into love and appreciation for those children. As I did that 5 years into committing to making that transformation of that energy every day, those children came and found me again on the internet. And this is what I want to share with you. When they first found me, I had sworn, no matter what, when I left Nicaragua, with my tail between my legs in utter horror at what I had seen, that I would never go back there. Then these children came and found me on the internet, and one of the things we teach in our advanced HeartMath courses is how to access your intuition, that the heart actually has a brain in it, an intelligence there, like a GPS in your car, that will tell you where to go to unfold your greatest fulfillment. And it's wonderful to be able to hear your intuition, but it's a whole other thing to have the courage to act on your intuition, especially when it tells you to do something that's scary. Well, my heart, when these children came to find me again, which in and of itself was a stunning experience, told me to go back to Nicaragua and see them. And it gives me goosebumps even now to tell you that, because it still lights me up with a little edge of fear. I experienced so much terror in Nicaragua, I could never fathom going back there. But here I was using HeartMath, and my internal GPS, my heart's guidance and intuition, was telling me to go back to Nicaragua. And I was terrified. I woke up every morning with my heart pounding in my chest in the week preparing to go. And the only thing that got me there, that empowered me to listen to my intuition instead of my fear, was applying the tools that we teach in the beginner workshop, quick coherence, perception shift, attitude breathing on a moment-to-moment basis. And that gave me the power to trust my heart's guidance over the fear that wanted to override it. And when I went back to Nicaragua, I have to say that was one of the most fulfilling moments of my life. When 12 years after leaving these children behind in a war zone, I got to see that not only had I conquered my own fear, but that in fact, the whole time I'd been gone, the love behind it had helped change these children's lives beyond anything I could have imagined. So I saw the power of love to move me past my own fears, and that led me to get to see the power of love made manifest in these children's lives, such that they had gotten themselves off the streets. They'd gone through university with money I had left them and cards of inspiration I'd sent them. They were running orphanages with children under their care, and one of them had a daughter named after me. I never would have seen all that, experienced that, tasted that, touched that, seen the impact love can have and how powerful we are to make a difference in the world had I paid attention to my fear rather than my heart's guidance. But this is very important and something that I touched upon in your invitation to this call as well. I'm not one necessarily in my coaching with people to say, ah, you're afraid? Do it anyway. Because when we do things in a state of fear, because of the impact that that chaotic heart rhythm has on the brain, we walk into something in a terrified situation, in a terrified state, we can know the higher brain centers are not fully engaged. And so you don't necessarily want to step into a board meeting or a audition, if you will. I work with a lot of actors who do that, in a state of fear. What we want to do is teach people to shift their state quickly, to be able to trust their heart. I wouldn't have wanted to go back to Nicaragua feeling fear the morning the bus crossed the border, because I wouldn't have been able to respond to the challenges that were around me appropriately in a state of fear. So we need ways to have not only the courage to follow our guidance, the courage to step into challenges, but to shift from a fear state into a peak performance state on the spot. And that's what the power of the heart and the tools we teach in the beginner workshop can give you. I want to give you another example from my current life. So that was 5 years ago that I was reunited with the children in Nicaragua. And as I said, to sit on the curb with them eating mangoes and hear them say, Sheva, Mama Chavita, you know, we knew we would find you again someday. We were tempted so many times into drugs or prostitution or crime to survive, but we said, no, we have a mother in Canada. I lived in Canada when I was younger. And we're going to find her again because we're going to make her proud. To hear those words was worth overcoming every fear. And now I'm faced in some similar situations that I think are very key for listeners who are wanting to take their life to a new level, who are wanting to reach their full potential and are feeling held back by the fear that comes up when you step into or out of, let's say, when you step out of your comfort zone. Because one of the hallmarks of this mid or mammalian brain is that not only is it designed to recognize patterns that are threatening, it's designed to recognize and be at ease inside of repeating patterns, rituals, familiarity, comfort. So anytime you step out of your comfort zone, which is what it is to grow to a new level, that midbrain can hijack your higher brain and say, wait a minute, what do you think you're doing? This isn't familiar. This must not be safe. And we can sabotage our growth and our success out of our fear. And so I've found the power of the heart directly helps me with that. And I'm at a pivot with that right now in several key areas of my life. For many, many years, really my whole life, I've had a deep desire to serve on a large scale. just something I came in with, I guess. I just really wanted to be of service to my fellow human beings especially. And at times have felt a lot of self-judgment and frustration. Why am I not helping more? Why am I not serving more? And I kept my life relatively small so that I could control it and be on top of it and never make any mistakes. And in the last couple of months, some very large projects have been coming my way, things that could position me along with a team of fabulous people to have positive impact on millions of people's lives. And I'm working with people who are already doing that. And I find myself entering meetings with my hands shaking and my palms sweating and my underarms sweating, and that's probably too graphic for most of you listening, but, you know, with fear. What if I make a mistake? What if I screw up? What if I create an alliance with someone and they make a mistake and they screw up because I can't do all this by myself? But what if I choose the wrong people? And the brain, the chatterbox of the mind, projecting its worst-case scenarios, is really just looking to explain the body's discomfort with stepping into new territory, being flagged by this old mammalian brain that's like, oh, wait a minute, you left the territory the herd usually hangs out in. You don't want to get lost. Get your way back to the herd so you don't get eaten by the tiger. So this old survival mechanism is kicking in, and the brain is looking for ways to explain why that's doing that. And the heart, and the power right now to have the heart math tools to be able to keep coming back to the heart and the heart's guidance and the heart's intuition, which can help me discern, yes, this is a legitimate fear, because you want to be able to suss out here that these people may not be the people you want to get involved with, and this is not a legitimate fear. This is actually just your old survival reactions, and all you need to do here is just breathe ease. Use your quick coherence, use your M wave, and just keep knowing that you're growing, and know that the fear is an old reaction and it's not based in what's happening right here. So that I can keep my higher brain online, stay present and performing well in the meetings, contribute what I have to give, listen deeply to others, none of which I can do when I'm in a state of fear. So the heart math tools have helped me personally enormously, and of course it's that I am excited to share with all of you and with others in these larger contexts. And it's such a joy on these Monday Heart Start calls to give you these examples. I have one that I'd like to share that's not my own. A client of mine who is a singer. She actually was a school teacher when she came to see me originally, but her dream was to be a singer, and yet she was terrified to sing in front of groups. So much so that she took a voice class at a local college, but went through the entire class without ever standing up and singing once. And she was referred to me originally because she had all these allergies that were causing her to lose her voice. But in short order, we could assess together that those allergies were really coming from her anxiety and her fear of, if you will, letting her voice out. And so I taught her the heart math system, both to boost her immunity so she wouldn't get colds as easily, wouldn't react with allergic responses to things, and also to give her the power to overcome that fear and step into her confidence. And she just called me this weekend. This is now less than a year since she's begun working with me, to let me know that her band, which has now performed multiple times around Los Angeles, had just performed at the Staples Center for a hockey game. And she was exhilarated and excited, and her voice was free and flowing, and I saw the power of the heart to help all of us manifest our dreams by helping us align with our deeper care, what really matters to us, our purpose, and using the fuel of fear to fire all that rather than trap ourselves. And that having been said, I want to take a moment before I need to close the call to just open up the line. If anyone has any specific questions or stories of your own that you want to share, and if you've muted yourself when you came on the call with star 6, be sure to unmute by pressing star 6 again so that we can hear your question or your comment. And for those who are listening to this as a recorded call, just to remind you, if you also have a question or a story that you want to share, you can do so by emailing me, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E, V like Victory, A, at Sierra, F like Fantastic, YERA.com. You can also call us directly, 310-581-1507. We do these free Heart Start to Your Week calls every Monday, and you can download all the recordings of them by going to www.fiera.com/heartstart.html. And we also do the first class of our beginner webinar as a free gift to you. And you can sign up for that on our Fiera.com homepage on the top menu bar. And for those who aren't receiving weekly reminders and summaries of our Heart Start calls and you want that, you can also sign up to receive that on the Fiera.com homepage.
This is Becky.
Hey, Becky.
Since nobody else is saying anything, I have... One, I'll try to make it as brief as possible. Before I knew HeartMath, I had an experience at a job. I've always gotten excellent performance appraisals and been like a hyper achiever and things like that. And I had an experience at a job where a new boss came in and for some reason just attacked me relentlessly, and it went on for like a year and a half, and for various reasons, injuries and things like that, there were no other jobs I could just leave and go to. I was pretty much stuck in that job, so leaving wasn't an option, and it just reached absurd proportions, and just coming in several times a day and just craziness, just attacking me and accusing me falsely of things and setting things up, and it was horrendous. It was terrifying, and it re-triggered PTSD from the past and just all kinds of things, and it took over my personal life. My husband and I discussed it all the time, and it just I got horrible performance appraisals and just outright lies and withheld raises, and it was just like I had never experienced anything like this in my life, and I was naive, and I kept thinking, well, the truth, you know, I have the truth on my side, and, you know, that will, you know, be enough, and then, of course, it wasn't, and after just living in fear, which, of course, affected my performance, which is what was being attacked, and then, you know, started creating some of what I was being accused of. Finally, after it went on and on and on, I took a totally different tact from just plain living in fear constantly and started praying for her and seeing her as just no one does anything bad except out of fear, and just realizing and having compassion for the fact that this human being had to be incredibly miserable and in a tremendous amount of fear to act in such a horrible way. And so I just kept sending love and compassion to her for her fear and meditating about that, and it was absolutely amazing. But after a year and a half of this, and it was on the verge of where I was about to be fired for just, and I was absolutely, truly doing an amazing job, totally turned around the department, and you should have got a medal, but they were about to fire me, and there was just nobody would listen to me. And all of a sudden, very soon after I started this, she just disappeared. Someone saw her crying, and then she didn't say anything, and there was an email, and it was worded very bizarrely in such a way that it was clear that she was fired, and she disappeared, and then her superior took over, and all of the job appraisals that had been put off and my raises for essentially 3 years of raises that I had been denied, including merit raises, suddenly I got my appraisals by someone else who waited a few months to get to know me and my work, and then I got excellent appraisals. I got given the 3 retroactive raises that went back all that time and given in a chunk, and it was absolutely amazing. I have no idea what happened, and I wasn't even like gleeful, like, oh boy, she got what she deserved or something, because I still had compassion, but it was like she was miserable. She wasn't happy. She didn't belong there, and it was like she kind of moved out of the way. It was amazing.
Becky, I love that story because you're adding a component to tonight's call that I didn't even mention, which is when we understand the physiology of fear, not only does it help us in our own lives, but it helps us to understand other people. It helps us to understand where other people are coming from and how their behavior happens the way it does, and allows us to open our hearts out of care and compassion for them, which allows us to be more of who we are, of course, as well, and makes the whole world function more coherently. That's such an exquisite story. Thank you so much for bringing that to the call.
You're welcome. I hope it wasn't too long. It's hard to
No, very helpful. You know, this call is not about me blabbing away. This is a forum for our whole community. And I really encourage people to share their stories, because it's all of us learning how to live from the heart and sharing our own personal experiences with that. I get emails from you and calls from you that tell me how you heard someone's story, whether it was mine or someone else's, that inspired you when you stepped into a similar situation. You're like, oh yeah, if Becky can do it in that situation, I can do it. And this is how we will all facilitate more heart-based living on our planet.
When you're so blinded by fear, it's so hard to see past it, and it's such a turning point, an aha moment to get past my fear, to really, really see that the fear was, you know, was what was driving her behavior, you know, to not just think it was all about me and what am I doing wrong and why is this happening to me and all of that. So.
Yep, that's super. And understanding people's fear can really empower us not to take other people's behavior personally, and that saves all of us a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Becky, absolutely beautiful story. And for those who didn't have a chance to share your stories or your questions, again, you can call us at 310-581-1507. You can email us, sheva@fiera.com. We can give you information about our Heart Mastery program, a chance to communicate and be a part of community forums like this one, learning from people like Becky who are going to the heart. And also, again, you can register for a beginner webinar free as well on our homepage. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, all of you who didn't have a chance to talk tonight. I have to run. Yeah?
You asked me to tell you when I called in, and you sent me emails and asked me to call in on Monday, and I wanted to let you know that I did. I'm Becky also, but I was writing you ever since the free webinar.
Hi, Becky also. Thanks for being here tonight. I wish I could stay and chat with all of you more. I love being on these forums, and I have a Heart Mastery members-only call in 3 minutes, so I need to go prepare for the Heart Mastery folks. But if any of you want information on that program, it's on our website, and Becky, I'm happy that you were here, and the rest of you as well, whether you're named Becky or not. Thanks for saying hi, and lots of love to all of you. Have a great night, and I look forward to meeting you on the Heart Start call next week.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.